Welcome to the Middletown United Methodist Church podcast, the perfect way to catch up on previous Sunday sermons.
Yeah, expectation can be a powerful motivator, but not always. For those of you who have children, you know that that can be true, or for those of you who supervise employees at work. As parents, we set expectations for our children, for their homework, their bedtime, their chores. And some of those children want to please their parents, and they are obedient, and they fulfill those expectations that we have for them. But then there are those strong-willed, independent, rebellious ones who thumb their nose at our expectations. Well, Jesus has expectations for His followers. In the beginning of Matthew's gospel, once you get past the birth, the baptism, and the temptation, and even before Jesus calls His first disciples, Matthew says that Jesus began to proclaim, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." And a call to repent is a call to faithfulness. Repentance is about examining the direction of our life and making a correction if we are not going in the right direction so that we might be faithful. Jesus set expectations for faithfulness. On the day of Jesus' resurrection, He told His disciples, "As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And in Paul's letter to the Philippians, Paul says that Jesus emptied Himself, taking a form of a servant, humbled Himself, and became obedient to the point of death. And so Jesus is sending us out into the community to be humble, obedient servants. And then finally, according to Matthew 28:20, Jesus is specifically sending us into the world to proclaim the good news so that others might become disciples of Jesus. See, Jesus not only has expectations for us, but Jesus has gifted some to be apostles, to equip the church for a sent ministry. He gave some to be prophets, to equip the church, to be faithful and obedient. He gave some to be evangelists, to equip the church, to share our faith with others. And we have spent the last 3 weeks talking about those gifts that have been given. And today I want to talk about the final two of the five gifts that Jesus gave to the church. And I combine these last two gifts into one sermon because these are the two gifts that you all do the best. And you don't need much encouragement to do these last two gifts. But He gave some to be pastors and some teachers. Now, one quick note is that the Greek word that gets translated pastor would best be translated shepherd. You see, the word pastor carries far too much baggage because when you hear the word pastor, you think about what I do, and you think about what I do publicly, and what mostly that is preaching, and you think to yourself, well, I can't do that, or you think, well, I don't want to do that. But shepherd is a much better word. Because think about what a shepherd does. A shepherd cares for his or her sheep. They make sure that they lead the sheep to where there's plenty of food and plenty of fresh water. Sheep are vulnerable, defenseless animals. And the shepherd is there to protect them from harm. And if a sheep gets lost, the shepherd will not abandon them, but will go in search of that one that is lost. Jesus is the perfect example, like Jesus has been of the three former gifts that we talked about. Jesus is also the perfect example of a shepherd. Reading in the Gospels, we read story after story of Jesus being a shepherd. He healed the lame, the blind, the deaf. He fed the hungry. He received the outcast, whether leper or the woman caught in adultery. Jesus was frequently seen in the presence of the marginalized, whether tax collector or prostitute. And in every case, Jesus is acting like a shepherd. He's caring for people, meeting their needs, accepting them, giving them dignity and hope. He brings them into the community and gives them a place to belong so that they don't have to be alone. Mike was always smaller than all the other kids, which made him an easy target for bullies. Mike tried his best every day to just kind of blend into the background. His goal every day was to make it through the day unnoticed. He felt if he could go unnoticed, then he wouldn't get hurt, either physically or emotionally. And after years of trying to go unnoticed, Mike realized that he was escaping the pain. But he also realized he was trading one pain for another. He had achieved his goal of going unnoticed, and as a result, he had no friends, no community. He was alone. By his early 30s, Mike was beginning to wonder if there wasn't more to life than what he was experiencing. Was there more meaning? Was there some place for him to belong? So Mike thought that the one place he might go and he could still remain unnoticed was at church. So after weeks of building up his courage, he finally decided to attend one Sunday morning. He waited to the very last minute and he snuck in the back row, and then he thought, I'll leave before the service is over and no one will ever know. But then came the surprise, the one thing Mike wasn't expecting, the passing of the peace. And people came to Mike, smiled at him, greeted him, welcomed him, and shook his hand. This was BC, before COVID. Mike was a little taken back by this action, but there was something about it that felt right. It felt good. Mike began feeling more and more comfortable in the service. The pastor's message was positive and hope-filled. The music was unfamiliar, but yet somehow seemed to speak to his soul. Mike was so caught up in the service that he forgot to leave early. And before he could get out of the sanctuary, folks had caught him, invited him for coffee and donuts and to come to Sunday school. Well, Mike wasn't quite ready for that yet. And it took several Sundays before Mike felt comfortable enough staying for coffee and donuts. It was a slow process for Mike learning to trust, accepting that he had been accepted by this community. Mike finally found the community that he had longed for but didn't think would ever exist for him. Mike finally found a place to belong. He no longer had to go through the day and work to be unnoticed, or at least he didn't have to do that at church. That church was being a shepherd. A shepherd means caring for the least of these, for all the Mikes of the world, regardless of their need. And you all do such a great job of shepherding people. You care for the people in this community through our mercy ministries, through the mobile medical ministry, through mission trips that you do. Even our daycare, our preschool, and our sanctuary of learning are all shepherding kinds of ministries where you are caring for people and the needs of those people. And your welcoming spirit when people come into this place, whether it's for worship or any other reason, is some of the best I've ever seen. Part of shepherding is also caring for the congregation. And again, you all are the best at this. When someone is sick or facing surgery or grieving, you all come around those individuals or those families when you're aware of it to love them and care for them, and you stay with them for the long haul, forever how long they need you. You all are great shepherds. Of the five gifts that Christ gave to the church, Jesus is probably best identified as a teacher. He was seen as an itinerant rabbi. He was always teaching, whether on the temple steps or in the synagogue or on the beach or on the hillside or in a boat. He was always teaching. And he taught primarily by parable, using objects and stories and images from the people's everyday lives, things that they could understand and things that they could identify with. And in these parables, Jesus taught about the kingdom of God, about what it meant to be a servant, to sacrifice, to forgive, to be with those who had been rejected. He taught compassion. He taught the importance of prayer. He taught about faithful obedience. He taught about entering the kingdom of heaven in this world and in the next. And Jesus reinforced his teaching by his actions. Jesus never had to say, "Do as I say and not as I do." Jesus faithfully lived out everything that he taught others. Teaching by word and an example is such an important part of what it means for us as Christians. And that's what Paul was telling the Colossians. He's come to help them to know the mystery. And that mystery is Christ. And for them to pass that mystery on to others. Jesus gifted some to be teachers, to equip the church for that ministry. Because how will people know if they are not taught? Teaching is and must be a crucial part of the life of any congregation. Because without teaching, people are left to their own to try to figure out this faith of ours. And the responsibility of teaching is beyond measure. It's a heavy weight to bear for those who do it. And you all have such a strong teaching ministry, whether it's Sunday school or small groups or book studies or Bible studies. Multiple opportunities exist to learn and to grow in this congregation. The important thing to remember is that when we're teaching, that not everyone is on the same level. We must be sensitive to those who are just beginning to explore this faith of ours. We must be patient with them, understanding where they are. As they explore, as they struggle to learn, they're struggling to learn the things that many of you have known for decades, the things that you have taken for granted. You have already forgotten more than they know at that point. So we be patient with those who are exploring the faith as we help them to learn about ours. You see, Jesus gifted some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some shepherds, and some teachers. And with that gift comes a great expectation. And the expectation is that we will use those gifts. That those who have been gifted will then equip the rest of the church for the ministry that we've been called to. And for a church to function at its fullest capacity, we need all five of those gifts. Not just two of them. Not just a little bit of the other three, but we need all five. Will we be obedient children? Eager to please God and show our love to God by serving Him? The church needs those who have been gifted. The church needs you to step forward to equip the church for ministry. Will you? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you for listening. If you would like to stay connected to Middletown UMC in other ways, you can visit our website, our Facebook page, or download our church app. If you would like to show support to the church and the ministries that help so many, you can use our online giving feature on the website or app. Have a blessed day.